As I was sitting and chanting here, I was thinking of the word youth, or the idea of youth, and how Srila Prabhupada said the flower of the nation is its youth. And when Srila Prabhupada came to America and began to speak the message of the Bhagavad Gita and engage in chanting the holy name, it was the youth who came forward to join him, to learn from him and work with him. And Srila Prabhupada was very pleased or proud that he had captured the youth. And he said, the youth are the flower of the nation. So much has been done to establish the Krishna consciousness movement in the West and all over the world since Srila Prabhupada first came by steamship, arriving at the age of 70. And today's youth is coming in touch with Krishna consciousness in a different way. They're finding a movement that's been established to some degree by the efforts of Srila Prabhupada and his immediate followers. And the mood of young people in general may be somewhat different. The youth in our generation was really looking for an alternative to the materialistic way of life. Whereas people today, young people today, are not exactly looking for an alternative in general. Surveys have been done of university students. The University of California. And the main purpose that the students give for their being in the university is to get some qualification that will help them to earn more later. That's a different move from our move when we were in the university. But that said, the facts of life are the same. We are eternal spirit souls, part and parcel of Krishna, and we can never be satisfied by material means because we're spiritual. As Srila Prabhupada always said, the living entity in the material world is like a fish out of water. A fish cannot be happy out of water. Even if you put it in a beautiful golden bowl filled with precious gems and jewels, fish won't be happy. It needs water. So we, as spiritual beings, need to be in a spiritual atmosphere to feel happy and satisfied. And without that, we'll always be frustrated and feel some lacking. And as a result, there are many books that have come out recently about what makes people happy. There's one by a Harvard professor, very intelligent and witty person, called Stumbling on Happiness. And he and other psychologists and sociologists have done research, and they found that people, there's like a whole generation of people who've done everything they thought would ultimately make them happy. They've gotten a good education, gotten a good job, or started a lucrative business, gotten a qualified wife or husband, had intelligent children to whom they gave all facilities. They did everything that they were told would make them happy. They did everything that they thought would make them happy. And then in the end, they found out that they were not happy. And then they wondered what went wrong. So there's a whole generation of books on the subject of what makes a person happy. Because there's a whole generation of people who did everything that they were told would make them happy, but they weren't happy. And therefore the title of the one book is Stumbling on Happiness. We can't predict what will make us happy. But Srila Prabhupada knew the secret. The secret is reviving our spiritual consciousness, our loving relationship with Krishna. And he gave the example that if you perform a mathematical calculation and you make a mistake in the first step, then even if you perform all the other steps perfectly, you may get further and further away from the answer because you made a mistake in the first step. So in the same way, if we make a mistake about our identity, in other words, if we think we're the body instead of the spiritual spark within the body, and then we do everything perfectly for the sake of the body, we may end up further and further away from the correct solution, from real happiness. And that's what all these people have experienced. And that's why there are so many books now. What makes a person happy? And the author of the book I quoted, Stumbling on Happiness, said that many of his colleagues, professional colleagues and friends and well-wishers, have told him that your analysis of the problem and of the mechanism of human psychology is excellent. It's excellent. But you don't give any solution. It's all negative. And that is the problem. It's sort of like what Srila Prabhupada said about our generation, the hippies, that they knew what was wrong, but they didn't know what was right. They rejected the stereotyped materialistic life of their parents and grandparents, but they had no idea of the beautiful life in Krishna consciousness. So now, as society has progressed, if you want to call it that, there's a generation of researchers, psychologists, sociologists, anthropologists, who have analyzed that all the things that people thought would make them happy, in other words, material success, is not making them happy. So they know that's not the solution, but they still don't know what the actual solution is. They're like an educated version or a sophisticated version of hippies. It's like they know what's wrong, but they don't know what's right. But Srila Prabhupada has come to give us the solution. He's come to show us the way to happiness, and it's practical. By chanting Hare Krishna, dancing, taking prasad, and in general following the lifestyle of Krishna consciousness, one feels that. And therefore devotees can keep doing the same thing year after year and not get tired of it. We chant, but we don't get tired of it. We wish we had more time to chant, actually. So this retreat is an opportunity for all of us together to chant and hear and dance and speak and honor prasad, play. We find in the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya that when Lord Chaitanya and his associates would get together, of course their main activity was certainly chanting Hare Krishna and speaking about Krishna. But they would also have picnics, they would have boat festivals, they would play in the water. Great learned scholars like Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Ramananda Rai, Advaita Acharya, they would become so intoxicated with love of God that they would become just like little children playing in the water and splashing each other and playing games. So there's nothing lacking in Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada often said, Krishna consciousness is not a dry philosophy. Everything is there. But the center is Krishna. The central point is Krishna and Krishna's pleasure. And by pleasing Krishna, we become satisfied. That is the secret, that is the method how to become happy. And that is by making Krishna happy. Consciously, deliberately. And when Krishna's happy, then everyone is happy. Everyone who's connected with Krishna is happy. So many events have been planned for the next phase of the retreat. And I thought I would read one verse from the Bhagavad Gita that describes the essence of the activities of devotees when they come together. There are four verses that are considered the essence of the Bhagavad Gita, and this is one of them, the second of them. Mat chitta mat gata prana bodayantas parasparam katayantas chamam nityam tushyanti cha ramanti cha. The thoughts of my pure devotees dwell in me. Their lives are fully devoted to my service, and they derive great satisfaction and bliss from always enlightening one another and conversing about me. When I first joined the Boston Temple, Krishna consciousness was such an adventure. And it wasn't an adventure only externally, it was an adventure internally. It's as if we were conducting an experiment. Srila Prabhupada often said, just try chanting Hare Krishna, make an experiment. So the whole process of Krishna consciousness was like a great experiment we were performing. Although we were convinced in advance of the truth of the philosophy and the process, but it was still an experiment in the sense that we were going to practically realize what we were hearing in class and reading in books. It was like in science, you have the theoretical knowledge, you mix these two chemicals together and a certain reaction will take place. So you expect that it will happen because you've been told by proper authorities what will happen. But when you perform the experiment, then you actually see it. So it was like a great experiment. And whatever we were reading was confirmed in our practical activities. And then we would discuss amongst ourselves. When I first joined, I really didn't know much about what was going on, but I was experiencing it. And I was experiencing, one thing I experienced was that when we were given Mahaprasad, the food from the deity's plate, it tasted different from the regular prasad. Regular prasad, as it is, tasted different from ordinary food. And then the Mahaprasad from the deity's plate tasted still different. But I didn't say anything. And then one day, as we were sitting for breakfast, one of the ladies commented, he just sort of said, did you ever notice that the food that comes off of the deity's plate always tastes like it has a little sugar sprinkled all over it? Wow, that's exactly what I experienced. I thought I was like been the only one. So we were like comparing our experiences and gaining more and more faith. And later I came across a very beautiful verse in purport in the Adi Lila of Chaitanya Charitamrita quoting. Well, this verse is followed by another verse that to those who are constantly devoted and worship Krishna with love, he gives them the understanding by which they can come to him. And Srila Prabhupada says in the purport that just as scientists in great academies compare their thoughts and the results of their experiments, so the devotees of the Lord, they also share their thoughts and realizations in Krishna consciousness. And by that sharing, Krishna is pleased. And Krishna being pleased gives the devotees further enlightenment from within the heart. So it's a very encouraging process, a very progressive process that we can all experience if we give ourselves to the process. Of course, if we stand on the shore, we're not going to know what it feels like to take a dip in the ocean. You have to immerse yourself in the water, then you'll know what it feels like. But if you do it, and if you do it properly under superior guidance, the way we were taught by Srila Prabhupada, you'll feel the results, and then you'll never be the same. Or you'll realize what you always were but forgot. So I don't know whether one event, we started a little late, but I should still end on time, right, so that the other events, because it is about time. It's probably good to stay on schedule. So please repeat after me with your hands upraised. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Krishna Krishna.
Krishna Krishna.
Hare Hare.
Hare Hare.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Rama Rama.
Rama Rama.
Hare Hare.
Hare Hare.
I should also take the opportunity to thank the organizers of the retreat. They've been working very diligently and systematically and intelligently for many months, and they've done a great job. And I'm sure that all of their efforts will bear many lovely fruits. In the beginning, they'd have some ideas, and then they would present them to me. And I would think, well, maybe do it a different way, and I'd ask different questions and find out more about it. And in almost every case, it turned out that what they had thought in the first place seemed to me to be the best anyway. So they're very nice, they do present their proposals to me. And I do consider them, but in the end it sort of dawns on me, you know, they probably figured it out better than anyone else could anyway, so might as well not even question it too much. But a retreat is very special because it's something that depends on everyone's participation for its success. And I think that you come, of course, you come with the best intentions. And if you really give yourself to the experience, you know, without reservation, you'll really have something that you'll never forget in your whole life. And you'll make friendships, you'll develop relationships, or you'll deepen already existing relationships that will always stay with you. The experiences you have here and the relationships you develop will stay with you. And you'll, well, I was going to say think back on this experience, but you'll also be able to look forward to other similar experiences. I remember when I first attended a japa retreat, I had such a wonderful experience. I thought, so this is what a japa retreat is. I experienced it. But then I experienced them again and again and again, and every one was different. Every one was completely enriching and enlivening. And Mahatma Prabhu said, it's not something that you do once and that's the end of it. It's something you do again and again. Like vacations. It's not that someone, a student or someone who has a job takes a vacation once, and then next year when it's vacation time, so I already took a vacation once, I've already experienced that. I don't need it. No, it's something you want to do again and again. And same with these retreats. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.